As they are making their way out, I just want us to open our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter number 19. 1 Kings chapter number 19. I'll read from verse 19. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" Verse 21. So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Today we'll just continue with the series that we started last week, the Elishas of God. Let us pray. Lord, this morning we thank you for gathering us together again. Lord, the word in here is not ours, it's not mine, it's yours. Dear Father, breathe upon your word this morning. Let this word make sense to us. Let it come alive unto us. Anoint our ears and our hearts, O Lord, so that this word will walk a walk in our heart, in the deep and the recess of our being. Lord, I ask, O Lord, that the words will come out of me and as rain and distill as the dew, even as the dew of the morning. So that, Lord, this word will bring encouragement, will bring empowerment. Lord, will bring strength, will bring hope. It's going to be used to direct, to correct, to give instruction in righteousness. So that at the end of it all of us will have been built by your word. In Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, say amen. The Elishas of God, we started that last week, and the specific title of the message we couldn't conclude last week was Qualified for a Double Portion. Qualified for a Double Portion. And I'll just take off from where we left off last week. Don't forget, This passage talks about two people, two key prophets in the Old Testament. And Elijah was, as it were, the senior prophet. And here comes Elisha, who is being recruited into the work of God. Those are very similar names, but they are two different people, two different personalities. Elijah and Elisha. If one is not careful, you will mix up it, the two names. I trust the Lord I'm not going to mix them up this morning. Elijah, these people, they actually lived around 800 BC, 150 years after David. And it came at a time when there was terrible sin in the land of Israel. In other words, it was the dark age, as it were, in the land of Israel. And the Lord raised up Elijah as a voice. And it came to a point when God wanted to take Elijah home, and he asked Elijah to anoint a couple of people. Elisha happened to be one of them, and other people were supposed to be kings, like we saw last week. Azael to be king of Syria, and Jehu to be king over Israel, and Elisha to be a prophet in your place. And last week we saw how the Lord chose Elisha, even though he was not part of the school of the prophets or the sons of the prophet. There was a school, so to speak, the Bible school in their day that they used to call the school of the sons of the prophet. These were the people that were being groomed, as it were, to take over into the office of a prophet. But God did not bring Elisha out of that particular place. He actually went into the farmland to find this young man. Now, I want us to recognize that because we're looking at qualified for a double portion. A double portion is supposed to be a blessing, a kind of a blessing, qualified for a double portion. I want you to realize, people of God, that being called is not what guarantees being rewarded. Being called is a step towards the direction of being rewarded. And as we look at it in the life of this man, we're just trying to follow the instruction in the scriptures. You know, the Bible says whatsoever, Romans chapter 15, verse 4, whatever was written at four times was written for our learning. Romans chapter 15, verse 4, that we through patience and encouragement, and that translation says through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. So we are taking some instructions from the life of the man called Elisha, so that we'll see how he managed to get into being in a place where he received a double portion, because that is relevant to us in the 21st century as believers. Now, three things I said we were going to be talking about last week that we couldn't conclude. I said we're going to be talking about his calling, or his call, his commission into the ministry, how he was found to be called into the ministry. And then number two, that we're going to be talking about his conduct, or rather his character. His character, talking about his conduct, his way of life. Old King James Version talks about it as conversation. So we're going to be talking about his calling, his conduct, or his character, and finally, his compensation. I would just want to talk about the two aspects, which is the character of Elisha and the compensation that he received. Now, like I said, being called is just the starting point in the direction of being rewarded. How we deal with the calling of God upon our life, how we deal with the task that the Lord has given to us, how we deal with the assignment that the Lord has given to us, is what determines whether we actually get rewarded at the end of it all. You know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 9, talking about a particular lady called Dorcas. Dorcas died, and the people that were around, they started weeping, the widows mostly. And why were they weeping? They were weeping because Dorcas had made them tunics and clothes, and she had given it to them. And they cried because they had just left somebody who was instrumental, as it were, in their lives, who brought God's blessing into their lives. I went into that because when we talk about God's calling, God's assignment, the task of God, we're not just referring to pulpit ministry. We're not just talking about people standing as pastors and prophets and evangelists and teachers. We're also talking about people who have been prompted by God to do certain things for other people. It may be at the family level. It may be in the at the community level. It may be to a friend, it may be to a co-worker, it may be to the widow in the community, it may be to the senior citizens, it may be towards the children. There is something that the Lord has laid on your heart. Those are the calls of God, as it were. That means you are called to fulfill those particular assignments. There are people who are raised to be financiers, as it were, for the kingdom, to support the work of God through money. You know, through their finances. They may not be able to physically stand to preach, but they have enough resources to be able to support. That's a call. That's a call of God on their lives. So I don't want us to limit it into, well, I've not been called to be a pastor, so I don't have a call. Every one of us is called into the kingdom. As a matter of fact, if you did not have a call, you would not have been in this kingdom. It was because God placed a call, a mandate, an assignment, a task upon your life. That's why you are here. And it is important for us to know that what qualifies us for blessing is just not just because we have been called. That's what starts our journey into the double portion, into the blessings of God. What qualifies us for the blessing is how we deal with the task that the Lord has given unto us in our various areas. I mentioned a few of them, how the Lord can give you a task, a call at your place of work, just serving in your place of work last week. Now, but today I want to focus more on the character of this man, because if we know exactly about his character, his conduct, his way of life, it will give us an insight into how this man managed to get into having the double portion of Elijah's anointing. Now, this man was a very busy man, like we established last week. He wasn't an idle person. As a matter of fact, he was on the farmland. He was working. The Bible talks about him supervising 12 group of oxen. 12, he was with the 12th one, and he was managing it. Now, In our own day and time, because sometimes when you read the Bible, it is important for us to relate it into our present day so that you have an idea of what that will mean. This would be a man that has a plowing equipment, 12 plowing equipment, because that was what the job was. He was doing the work of plowing the farm. And so you're talking about somebody who is probably like a manager of a company that gets his contract out to people, or perhaps he was even managing his own farmland because it appeared like it was a kind of a family business. And so you're talking about somebody who is not a poor man. This man was not a poor man. He was an employer of labor. So he had a business, and he employed people, and he was part of the people that were working on the farmland when the call came. So he was not a poor man, as it were. Now, but see his response, because his response tells us exactly what the character of this man is. And we're still going to see others as we read 2 Kings later in our subsequent teaching. But the one I want us to focus more on was his response towards the call when it came to him. Now, the Bible says concerning this man that as soon as Elijah dropped the mantle upon him, he just has Elijah. I want to go and say bye-bye to my parents. And Elijah said, what have I gone to do with you? I've just go wherever you want to go and do. Go and do it. And the man left. And what he did was very profound. What he did was that he slaughtered the oxen. He slaughtered the oxen, and then he made a big party, and then he said farewell to his people, and he used the oxen equipment to actually make the preparation. It's like maybe it was a wooden object, I will imagine, and you are now using the object of the business to actually set fire on what you are cooking. That's exactly what the man did. What's that to us? This man was saying, I'm 100% sold out to this assignment. No plan B. No plan B. I'm 100% sold out to this assignment. That is true faith. That is audacious faith. That is, I'm going into this and I'm not looking for way out of it at all. Now, and two things happen, like I said, that will make you understand his state of heart. Number one, he made a big party. So it wasn't a secret engagement in an assignment. You know, many of us, when we want to engage with things that we believe the Lord has laid upon our heart, we look for the easiest way to do it such that the next person by our side will not have an idea that we're actually following a task given to us by God. Those are people we call secret believers. They want to exercise faith, but they want to exercise it in such a way that they only themselves, not even their spouses, will know that they are exercising faith, just in case it never worked. But this man said, well, I've just got a task to fulfill. Everyone come. I've been called to become a prophet. That was a dangerous thing to do, because you're just going in there, and he was leaving a flourishing, thriving business to go into that. So it was not a guy that was without hope. He was not an idle person. I will imagine he was earning good money. And then he said, everyone come, I've just been called to go into the office of the prophet, and I'm going. So let's throw a party, you know. And so he called off. And that's one thing about the language of faith, you know. True faith does not play it safe. True faith in God does not look for a safe way to engage in it. I don't know about you, but the Bible talks about some people as secret disciples. When Jesus was going to curse the fig tree, the Bible says, and he cursed the fig tree that no one should eat the fruit off from you ever. The Bible says, and the disciples heard him. The disciples heard him because it was not a whisper. He said it aloud. That's faith in action. There was no secrecy about it. The Bible says concerning Lazarus, he said, and he shouted, Lazarus, come forth. I'm not sure many of us will have done that. Even if the Lord has spoken to us to go and raise Lazarus up, we just have gone very close to the grave and say, Lazarus, come forth. You know, just in case Lazarus did not come forth. You know, the Bible says, he shouted, Lazarus, come forth. Everyone heard him. They had the command. And they had everything that he said. Why? Because through faith, audacious faith in God does not play it safe. And that's the kind of faith that the Lord wants us to. He wants us to cut off to detach ourselves from alternatives. You know, because that was exactly what this man did. He got his equipment. This equipment, we don't know exactly. The Bible doesn't give us the detail of what the equipment was. But it was the equipment that he was using for his business. And he set it on fire to boil, as it were, to cook, to roast, I'm not sure, the oxen that he had just prepared. In other words, I'm burning the bridge. I'm not coming back here. I'm going to face the assignment. This assignment is either it works or I die trying. It's either I fail or I die trying. I'm not coming back here. You know, we're in the world of options and alternatives. If you've been to the shops or wherever you go, actually, you just need to go to Woolworth or one of the stores and you want to buy milk, just milk. And then when you get to where they keep milk, you will see all kinds of milk. High, low, medium, fat, yellow, red. And all of a sudden you get confused because there are options, there are alternatives. You know, when I go to store, I just grab the first one that my hands, whatever your hands find to do it. I just grab it and put it there. And my wife does complain sometimes. No, it's not this type. It's supposed to be that type. How do I know? Milk is milk. Let's just drink it. Okay, by faith, you know. And then you go to where they keep bread. Oh, that's even worse. Brown, white, all kinds. You know what I'm talking about? Because we are bombarded with options and alternatives. So if it's not this one, it's that one. And many of us will bring that concept into the task and the assignment of God. So before we even start, we have actually started mapping out how to get out of it if it does not work. So before, for instance, people go into a marriage, they are already mapping out how to get out of it if it does not work. You know, I read about a woman who, when they were going to marry, she was a superstar, a singing star, and she actually had a contract with the husband-to-be that she was going to keep all her money while he will keep all of his money. Why? Because there was a thought that maybe at some point he would not be making as much money as I'm making, so at that time I can check out so that I can keep all I've got. Or so that he will not have access to the things that... So there was a way out already set before the marriage started. And so it wasn't a surprise to me that it didn't really last, you know, I think a couple of years, and it broke down. Why? Because there were already alternatives, options to check out of it. If we bring that concept into following the task and the assignment of God, the person has failed before he ever started the mission. Because true faith does not look for option. It doesn't look for alternatives. It looks for just the hand. I'm getting 100% committed in 2 days. And you know the reason why. Because each time God gives you an assignment and gives you a task to do, there will be difficulties. There are always these difficulties. The Bible says, a good and an effectual door has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. And there are many adversaries. So when a good and effectual door is open, there will always be adversaries. There will always be difficulties. So if you have already mapped out how to get out of it, you can be sure you will try one of those exit doors along the line. That's if you ever start the show to start with. Elisha was a man that was committed to it right from day one. Just think about it. You are in your business, or you are doing your career or your profession, and you are being called into a different profession that you have never even been trained to do. Because that was what happened to this young man. He had never been to the school of the prophets. He was never part of the sons of the prophet. So no certificate, no diploma, no certificate at all in this business of prophesying to the nation. And then he was called from what he knew to do very well into the things he had no clue. And he said, Lord, I'm committed to this 100%. And that was what he did. Cut down the bridges, destroyed the equipment and got into it because he believed that God had called him to it and there was not going to be a plan B. People of God, I'm of the opinion, and this is strongly supported by the word of God, that many of us will have made it well and do it well if we did not start with looking for alternatives and options before we embark on the task. I'm of the opinion that a lot of us will be able to reach the end of the game and will be able to make a good report in what the Lord has committed into our hands if we did not start looking for options and alternatives before we start. You know, one of the reasons the Bible says why the Lord took the children of Israel through the wilderness was not because the wilderness was the closest place to Canaan, to the land of the promise. As a matter of fact, the Bible says there was a shorter route where God would have taken them. He would just have taken them, and if you study the map, this is beautiful. If you study the map, you will discover that if he had taken them through the land of the Philistines, they would have got to the land of Canaan, to the promised land, faster, earlier. But the Lord decided to take them through the wilderness. And the Bible is very clear about this. It says, so that when they will see war, they will not turn back. In other words, God was putting them into a condition where they will not have any option to consider a plan B. He was putting them in a position where they will not have any option to think about exit route. But people of God, if you study it very well, you discover that despite that fact, the children of Israel, they still wanted to consider the exit route. In this instance, going back to Egypt. And I said, do you understand it? You passed through the Red Sea before you got here. So don't you think that you will need to pass through the Red Sea to go back to Egypt? But the Bible says in the book of Numbers, they raised leaders for themselves who will take them back to Egypt. The exact reason why God took them through the wilderness. People of God, audacious faith in God as exhibited by this man called Elisha, is what will get us into the platform where we receive our blessing. Don't forget where I started with. I said being called is not what guarantees that you're blessed. It's pursuing the assignment to the conclusion that determines that you're blessed. You know, I come across a lot of people, and especially in prayer meetings and even in church, and believers that keep asking God, God, bless me, God, bless me. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I have found out that the reason for the blessings of God is because there is a pursuit of a task and an assignment. There is no basis for you to get blessed. You see, when we come to God, we come under a covenant of blessing. That's what happens. We come under a covenant of blessing. But what activates that covenant of blessing is an engagement in the task and the assignment that the Lord has prompted in our hearts. Vitally, we are blessed. Or rather, legally, we are blessed. We have access to it. But vitally, that the release of the blessing actually comes to us as we engage by faith in God's assignment. So whatever thing the Lord has asked you to do, it has to be by faith, audacious true faith. And audacious true faith does not go by way of alternatives. Now, look at this. I believe that one of the reasons why Elisha succeeded was because he had already burned this aspect of his life. He said, I'm going, I'm leaving, and I'm not coming back here. So later on, when we come to 2 Kings chapter number 2, the place where we read during our Bible reading this morning, he was going to go with Elijah to beyond Jordan. And this actually happened, according to many theologians, Bible scholars, they believe this happened about 6-7 years after the incident of the 1 Kings chapter number 19. So sometimes when you read 1 Kings chapter number 19 and 2 Kings chapter number 2, you will think that it just happened the following day. So he was called today, and 2 days after or 3 days after, Elijah, who was the master in this case, was going to be taken to heaven. No. In true chronological sense, it actually took place years after the initial call into ministry, as it were. So they were going to go through this journey, And this journey was going to take them from Gilgal. So Elijah told him, the Lord has given me an assignment. I'm going to go to Bethel. And then Elisha said, I'm going with you. And when he got to Bethel, he said, no, so from Bethel now I have to deliver some, I have to go to Jericho. So you stay here. And Elisha said, no, I'm going with you. And you know the interesting thing, the sons of the prophet, and when I talk about the sons of the prophet, like I said, always think about the people that were being trained, being groomed into stepping into, you know, pastors or prophets of the land. The sons of the prophet in Bethel, they came to Elisha, this young man. The Lord is going to take Elijah, your master, off over you today. It appeared to me that everyone knew what was going to happen to Elijah. The Lord was going to take him home. The Lord was going to take him from over you. That's the exact word the Bible says, from over you. And that's very profound, because while Elijah was with Elisha, as the manner was in their days, he was having a covering, a spiritual covering over Elisha. So the Elijah was having a spiritual covering over Elijah. And all the provisions actually will come from Elijah. The sustenance of Elisha, the young Elisha, will depend on Elijah. So it was a big thing that was going to happen. His covering, his provision, his source of sustenance was going to be taken off him. Because in their day and time, people give prophets things, you know. They bless the prophet. They call it prophet's offering. And it still happens in our day and time. The people give their prophets things. You know, thank God for you being a man of God in my life. Thank you for being my pastor. Thank you for being the one that the Lord is using to bless me spiritually. You know, and some people in our day, let me just digress a little. They don't understand that. They don't have an idea that the man or the woman that is set in the house to be a spiritual covering over them ought to be blessed by them. And Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, actually went extensively into this. That the people that have rule over you, who serve you, who have been blessing you over the years, who are your spiritual covering, who minister to you spiritual things, they ought to benefit from your material substance, from your substance. I'm sure some people are looking at me, okay, here you go again. Pastor, don't go there. Okay, I won't go there today. I'll go there another time. So anyway, let's go into other things. So this man was... So Elisha was actually under Elijah, okay? And so his sustenance, so whatever they will bring to Elijah, that's what he was going to eat from. He was going to sustain himself from, you know. Perhaps even he had a family. The Bible is silent about that. That's what Elisha was going to feed upon. The Bible says God was going to take him from over him. Take him away. Take Elijah away. So that means sustenance, stop. Provision, stop. Every other thing, privileges, stop. And then the sons of the prophet, they told Elijah that, or rather, they told Elisha that God was going to take your master away from you. And Elisha said, don't worry, hold your peace. In other words, don't even go there. I know, don't go there. And then when they got to Jericho, the sons of the prophet in Jericho came to Elisha and told him exactly the same. God was going to take your master off you. Don't worry. Elisha said, don't worry. Just hold your peace. I'm very convinced that one of the reasons why Elisha was not even going to consider those things was because there was actually nothing to go and fall back on. He had left the job and he had burned the equipment. He has gathered a lot of people around together. They have had a party to celebrate that he was going into the ministry of being a prophet. So there was no going back. 100% sold out. And that's one of the things that helps us when we actually commit 100%, not 90%, not 99%. People will say, let's use wisdom here. You know, the Bible talks about the heart, the wisdom of the world. The Bible says it's earthly, it's devilish, it's sensual. Why will anyone destroy his business because he's going to God's business? You know, as it were, in their day and time, that was very risky. And in our day and time, it's even riskier, I will imagine. But he was sure that what God was calling him into. And that's why he went into it 100%. And of course, it will apply to us individually in different ways. So I'm not saying And I need to be put on record, please, that the Lord giving you an assignment does not mean you quit your job. That's not what the Bible is saying. It's just saying that you need to detach completely from alternatives. Detach completely from alternatives, whether before or during or while you're in the journey. Detach yourself. For some of us, it's a detachment in our heart, in our spirit, that there is no going back. I will either do this, I will either succeed at this or keep trying. Anyway, so this man was very faithful. And that brings us to the compensation. So he went from Gilgal to Bethel, from Bethel to Jericho, and from Jericho, he was going to go through Jordan. And for one reason or the other, Elijah, the senior prophet now, was kept trying to convince him of the need not to engage in the journey. Elisha, stay here. I have an assignment in the next city or the next town. Elisha, stay here. And Elijah kept saying, No, I will go with you. I will go with you. The Bible is silent about the reason why Elijah was actually persuading the young man not to follow him. But one of the reasons may be because Elijah felt for this young man. You know, God was going to take me away anyway. So why do you have to keep following me? You know, go and look for some other things. I don't know how to help you. I'm touched about your faithfulness. Another way to look at it is maybe his faith was being tried. But whatsoever way you want to look at it, it was a dangerous mission. And there were sons of the prophet in the land who were not going to engage in that kind of a followership because they felt it was dangerous. But he kept going with him. And then the last part of it was he said he was going to cross the Jordan. The Jordan was supposed to be a river. And if he was going to cross the Jordan and they were going to cross together, I thought that was going to be the point when Elisha, the young prophet, will have thought, okay, I've done all I could. There was no reason to cross the Jordan with you. Why? How do I come back? If I cross the Jordan with you, how do I get back? Because that was a major river. But the Bible says, all of the persuasion would not get Elisha off Elijah's back. He kept following him, kept pursuing him, kept being faithful, as it were, into the ministry. And that is exactly the reason. Why he got the double portion. He wasn't the only son of the prophet. He wasn't the only servant of Elijah, as it were. We've met several of them on the journey who stay put and say, "Okay, Elijah, I'll see you later. We meet in heaven." Okay, because he was being taken away. But Elisha kept at it. Why? They were all called. But some people make impute into that task, into that assignment, into their call. And that's what got him across the Jordan. Now, listen to what he asked for in 2 Kings chapter number 9. All right, yeah, 2 Kings chapter number 2. 2 Kings chapter number 2, verse 9. So we've talked about the calling last week. We've just talked about the conduct or the character. And the character of this man, Elisha, was that he was not going to be someone that would give in to plan B. No alternatives, no options. And then we're talking about now his compensation. In verse 9, so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, now look at what Elisha said. "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." This is where the deal was going to take place. "Let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." None of the sons of the prophet came to this point where they could ask that question. None of the people that were given the assignment of being prophet in their own right had that privilege of asking this question from Elijah. And listen to what Elijah said. He said, "You have asked a hard thing." Why was it a hard thing? Why? Simple. Because what Elisha just asked, what the young man just asked, was not in the capacity of the older Elijah to give. Elijah was not the one that distributes the power, not to talk about it, the double portion of his power. So he has asked something that Elijah could not give. He had asked something that Elijah in his own power, even though he would want to, was not going to be able to give to the young Elisha. But the next statement is very profound, because what he did was that in his next statement, Elijah connected the fulfillment of Elisha's wish with a condition which depended entirely on God's will. So he connected the wish of Elisha, the young Elisha, to the fulfillment of that wish with a condition that we only depended on depended entirely on God's will. In other words, if you see me when I'm being taken from you, it will be done for you. In other words, if the Lord allows it such that you are able to see me, because seeing him was not a condition that was not something that Elijah was going to be able to promise. Elijah was not going to be able to guarantee that Elisha would see him. But he knew that if God would want Elisha, the young Elisha, to receive what he had asked for, then the Lord should make Elisha, the young Elisha, to see him when he's been taken. So he handed it over to the source of the anointing, God. And this is very, very important. Now, because what Elisha has, and this is important too, what Elisha has was a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Now, that doesn't make any much sense to us, but in the Old Testament, if you go and study the book of Deuteronomy chapter 21, from verse 14, 15 to 17 actually, Deuteronomy 21, what happened in the Old Testament was that when a father wants to distribute his properties amongst his sons, he distributes his properties in such a way that the first son has a double amount of what the other kid or all the other sons will have. So what that means is if I had two sons, for instance, and I want to distribute my properties, my wealth, I would distribute my properties and my wealth in three places. And so two will go to the firstborn son, and then one will go to the second. So if I have three sons, I would distribute it into four places. I would divide it into four places, and two of those portions will go to the firstborn son, and then the others will take their respective area. You know, it would have been good to come as the first, you know, in those days. It doesn't matter now whether you come first, second, or last, at least in the Western community, you know, you are on your own. Anyway, that's that's on the side, but that was their own practice. All right, so the double portion was going to be given to the firstborn. Now, this was what Elisha was asking. Let me have the privilege and the blessing of what belongs to the firstborn, your firstborn as a prophet. Now, don't forget, before Elisha came into the scene, Elisha was not going to be the first servant of Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter number 18, I believe, Elijah, the big prophet, actually asked his servants to wait while he ran away. So he was not going to be the first servant of Elijah, the senior prophet. But by the reason of his engagement with his assignment and being faithful, being dependable to the end, he made a request for what would otherwise have been given to somebody else. And he was not refused. Why? Because what guarantees your access to the blessing is not the fact that you are called, it's your engagement with the call, with the assignment. Okay? And the Lord gave it to him. As he was being taken away, he said, my father, the chariots of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And the Bible says their mantle, now listen to this, the mantle came down to him. Now, don't forget where it all started in 1 Kings chapter number 19. It all started with the mantle. The mantle was thrust on his shoulder, was put on him, and the mantle was representative of a call into an assignment. It was representing a call into an assignment. Now, at the hand of Elijah, the senior Elijah prophet ministry now, the mantle came down, and it was this mantle that he took, and he was going to cross Jordan with it. And when he got to Jordan, he said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" Splashed it upon the river, and the river parted into two. Now, what's the significance of the mantle here? So the mantle here represents, as it were, the authority, the blessing, as it were, the blessing of faithfulness. So the same mantle that represented the call into an assignment is also the same object that now represents access into the blessing. So what does that tell us? our access to blessing is directly linked to our engagement with the task. The task and the assignment that the Lord has given unto us, and like I said, whether it's in the house, whether it's at work, whether it's in the community, whether it's in the church, is what will determine our faithfulness to that particular task or assignment is what will determine the blessing. When he appeared and he came back from Jordan, listen to what happened. The sons of the prophets came out and they said, surely the spirit of Elijah has now come upon Elisha. And that was why the man got the blessing. The reason why I went into all of this, people of God, is to understand that when the Lord calls us, he has a portion in heart. He has a blessing in his mind. The reason why he called us was simply because he wants to bless us. The reason why he got us born again was simply because he wants to bless us. But the access to that blessing, and this is what we need to know, the access to the blessing of God is a function of our faithfulness to the task and the assignment. The level of our obedience to him as he takes us through the journey. All of the sons of the prophets, they had equal access with Elijah, or rather, they are called into the same blessing with Elisha, the younger prophet. All of them had access to, they were called into the same thing that will have got them the same blessing. But not all of them followed through to the end, so they were not qualified for the double portion. So what qualifies us, people of God, is for us to stay faithful. For us to keep obedient, to keep being obedient, for us to continue to follow him as he leads us. He will take us through difficult journey. He will take us through Gilgal. He will take us through Bethel. He will take us through Jericho. Those are difficult times in our lives. But if we stay faithful to his call, we'll get to Jordan. And when we get to Jordan, when we come back, we are coming back a different person. Now, have you ever asked yourself, and this is one of the questions I asked myself years ago when I was studying the Bible. I came to a point where Jacob was going to bless his children. And he asked his children to go and actually ask Esau, go and get me a game, prepare something for me because I want to bless you. And I said, come on, you can bless him without eating, can't you? Bless the young man and let him go. But in the realm of the spirit, the blessing of God comes as a function of you having completed an assignment. That's the way it is. Jacob could just not have blessed Esau because there was no reason to bless him. The reason to bless him was connected to the assignment that he was going to perform. And you know, Isaac, I'm mixing it up now. Isaac had Jacob and Esau, right? Isaac was going to bless Esau. He gave him an assignment. And then for one reason or the other, the reason we know, Jacob came in and prepared it and Jacob was blessed. And the question is, why didn't Isaac actually bless Esau without asking him to go and prepare something? Don't forget, Isaac was not a poor man. He could afford whatever he had asked Esau to go and bring. But in the realm of the spirit, there is a connection between the obedience and the completion of task that the Lord has given to us and the blessing. And the blessing. So people of God, let's stay faithful. Let's keep obedient, being obedient. Let's keep following the Lord as he takes us through all this journey. Because that is the path to experiencing and having the double portion. Let us pray.